cares for us enough to give us so many different warnings about the judgment that is going to come and provide us the opportunity to get saved before this judgment comes to destroy like a whirlwind. Amen. And Brother Bramall is talking about moved with fear. There's nothing wrong with genuine fear. Anybody that's not afraid is a fool in this world. Amen. And there's nobody that I know of in this world that has not experienced at some time or another and will experience at some time or another fear in their life. Because we are creatures of emotion and we're creatures of feelings, and fear is part of life itself. And sometimes when you acknowledge your fear, you're able to do something about it. But if you try to deceive yourself, you're not afraid, amen, then you'll not do anything to help yourself and save yourself from whatever danger is creating that fear around you. So fearing judgment is not a bad thing. It's a wholesome fear. Fearing hell and the lake of fire is a wholesome fear. Amen. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And by saying there is no God, that same fool is saying there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no judgment. Just eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow you'll die, and that's the end of life itself. Amen. That's not so. Death is just a temporary departure from this life. It goes through a dusky corridor in this life, headed towards destiny itself that is eternal. And that destiny is either in heaven or in hell. Amen. Even those that live in the world of the pagans believe in immortality. It's just this Western world of ours that has decided that there's no such thing as immortality. But man from the beginning has always believed in immortality, that there is a life after death. The Egyptians used to build the pyramids for their pharaohs and place in those tombs chests of gold and food, because they believed that the dead will come back to life and will have use for that. The Indians in this country, when they buried their dead, they buried them with their bows and arrows because they thought they're going to a better hunting ground. They believed in all that. So that people that don't believe in God, they play the part of a fool. Amen. And if you're not afraid of the Word of God, you're not afraid of the presence of the Lord, you actually could be classified in that area. You're behaving like a foolish person. But way down deep in your heart, you know better. Amen. Way down deep in your heart, you sense and realize and feel that there's more to life than just this natural life. Praise the Lord. And all of these messages that we have been preaching are not so much to frighten you, and as much as we'd like to stir your mind and stir your heart to respond, but they are meant to alert you of what is ahead for you and to encourage you to prepare yourself to be counted worthy to escape these things. If the Bible was not considerate of you, there wouldn't have been a book of Daniel in the Bible. If the Bible was not considerate of you, there wouldn't have been a book of Revelation in the Bible. Amen. But the reason these prophetic books are in the Bible, and the reason God has raised up ministers with specialized ministries, is to alert you and to warn you. Amen. God has summoned His prophets. Go and warn the people. Give them a chance. Hallelujah. If they don't heed that warning, then God feels He's done His part. Because He says, it's not my will that any should perish. Amen. But everybody should come, hallelujah, to eternal life. So God is a God of justice. Somebody said, if He's a loving God, why has He provided a hell and a lake of fire? The reason that God must provide a place of punishment for the wicked is because He has to maintain His reputation as a just God. It's just like saying, why do the courts of our land, amen, punish criminals and send them to jail or pronounce a death sentence on them? Simply because we are trying to maintain law and order in this country, and we're trying to maintain justice in this country. Hallelujah. Just as a good man deserves rewards, so does a bad man deserve rewards. And our God has a reputation to maintain. Amen. What is the good of inviting people to live a good life when He ignores the ones that live a bad life? If He is not going to do anything but those that live a bad life, then why invite anybody to live a good life? Isn't that right? So God is a fair God. He is a just God. He has provided a heaven for the Christian. And He has provided the same opportunity for you as He has for you and for you and for everybody else. And you have a choice to make. You can choose to live for God and make it to heaven. You can choose to live for the world and the devil and go to hell. So really, God doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell. You sign your own eternal death warrant. Amen. God has only provided, praise all the stipulation for you, and it's up to you to respond. Will you stand to your feet for a moment? Tonight, we want to talk to you on the great tribulation. The great tribulation. You turn with me to the writings of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24. And because Jesus said these words, we feel that He wants us to repeat them to this generation, amen, that I feel is going to be part of the generation when this frightening event is going to come to pass. Amen. From the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, that is to the day of Jesus, nor ever shall be as far as the future is concerned. That means one event of its kind. It's going to happen one time. Hallelujah. But it's going to be unprecedented in human history, and it's not going to be, praise the Lord, repeated in the future as far as future history is concerned. And it's going to be so terrible that Jesus said, and except those days should be shortened or lessened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, and we are in that day today. How many have heard of false messiahs, or false Christ recently? Sure you have. I've heard of three in the last 5 years. Amen. Well, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, perhaps talking about that prince we were talking about last night, amen, go not forth. Behold, he's in a secret chamber, closed in. Believe it not. For as a lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. Amen. The great tribulation. What is it all about? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this service tonight. We invite your presence, O Lord, and your Spirit to move in this service in a great measure. Move our hearts, O Lord, with fear this night. Hallelujah. Move our spirits, O God, to respond. For this is a day that is very, very awesome, a day that is very, very horrifying, and you have provided a means of escape for us if we will only respond, hallelujah, to that way. And I pray tonight that there'll be some that will, who are lost in their condition as they are this night. In Jesus' name we pray and for thy glory. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. We want to talk tonight on the most tragic phase of all of the tremendous future happenings, an event that is known, praise the Lord, in the Gospel of Matthew as well as the Book of Revelation as the Great Tribulation. The word tribulation comes to us from the Greek word thlepsis, and it means to beat down. It means to thrash. It means to cause great affliction. It means to bring distress as of oppression. So it's a frightening word and has frightening definitions to it. The Bible teaches us that such a time is yet to come to the earth, overshadowing all wars of the past, overshadowing all conflicts of the past, overshadowing perhaps any carnage or slaughter that has taken place in the past. In its sufferings and its destruction of human life. Because the great tribulation is not going to concentrate on the physical aspect of this earth, but it's going to be concentrated on human life itself, where life will become so insignificant and so cheap at this time. There have been several events in the course of history that have tended, praise the Lord, to be considered as tribulation events. And the word tribulation is mentioned in the New Testament alone approximately 21 times. Jesus Christ, talking to his disciples, alerting them, praise the Lord, to the responsibility of being His disciples, said, in this life, or in this world, ye shall have much tribulation. He was simply saying that as long as you are my disciple, you are going to be confronted with times of tribulation. But not of the nature, hallelujah, of this event that is one, amen, of its kind. The Apostle Paul, addressing the Roman church, the Thessalonian church, the Philippian church, he also told them that there'll be times of tribulation that will come their way. And while Paul was alive, amen, tribulation did come to the Thessalonian church. Tribulation came to the Philippian church, to the Roman church, but not of the nature of this one, praise the Lord, that we want to talk about tonight. There have been times in the course of secular history, hallelujah, where there has been some wars and some battles that have raged where lives were destroyed. In the annals of secular history, we have record, amen, of the invasion and the destruction of the city of Carthage. History tells us that when Carthage fell under the mighty scourge of Rome, it was a miniature tribulation compared to the great tribulation that Jesus Christ Himself is talking about. After days of battering rams at its walls, the walls of Carthage fell. And then for 9 days of fire and sword, everybody that lived in Carthage was slaughtered at this time. Amen. Carthage was considered at that time the queen of the Mediterranean. And it was a very thriving city, perhaps thousands of people populating that city. And Rome came against Carthage, destroyed this city, and slaughtered all of the residents of the city of Carthage. Again, in the annals of history, we have the record of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD, when the Roman legions led by Titus the Great came against the city of Jerusalem, occupied by the Jewish people, with a residential population of over 1 million at this time. And Titus besieged the city for 7 months. And he closed, praise the Lord, the gates of the city. Anyone going in or going out. He demanded that the Jewish people surrender in that city. But the Jewish people would not surrender, amen, to the Roman Empire. And as time went on, the days and the weeks and the months went on. All of the food stored in the city of Jerusalem was finally depleted and confiscated. Amen. They had no more food to eat. Famine stalked the heels of every human in the city of Jerusalem. The suffering actually was so indescribable that mothers, frantic with hunger, slew their own babies, killed their own babies, so they could eat their flesh and survive, if you please. Hungry young men were roaming the streets of the city, searching for food to eat. And if they found an elderly person with a crust of bread in his hand, they would club that old man to death and take that little crust of bread out of his hand so they could survive. Amen. And finally, as the battering rams of Rome beat down the walls that surrounded the city of Jerusalem, the Romans invaded the city and they began to slaughter the people that lived inside the city. History tells us that there were so many dead that they had to stack their bodies one on top of the other. And by so doing, they actually choked the narrow streets of the city of Jerusalem with the stacked bodies of the dead. Not only that, but there was so much blood that flowed in the city of Jerusalem that the fires that these Roman legionaries started inside the city to burn the city down were actually put out by the blood that flowed in the city of Jerusalem as a result of the slain and the slaughtered, if you please. Blood flowed so abundantly, and the dead were everywhere. And by the time Hallelujah was finished with Jerusalem, over 1 million Jews were killed and slaughtered in that city. Amen. These are events that mark with blood human history, if you please. But the world is going to taste a bitterness. The world is going to taste, hallelujah, a reign of terror, and experience a reign of terror unsurpassed in human history. As Jesus looks at those who are standing around Him, listening to His discourse, and telling them, hallelujah, a great tribulation is coming upon this world, such as never has been up till this time, and never will be like it as far as the future is concerned. And He said it's going to be so terrible, hallelujah, that unless the days of this tribulation will be shortened, nobody will survive it. Nobody will survive it. Why is this great tribulation coming upon this world? Simply because a God who has extended His mercy and His grace, who has been tolerant and long-suffering, who actually has invested all that heaven has in love, hallelujah, and in mercy and in compassion upon the human family, reaching out for men and women, praise the Lord, to respond to Him and His plan of salvation, trying to save them, amen, from the devil's world and the world of sin, to provide them a place of escape from the judgment that must come on Satan and all of his demon spirits. Amen. In fact, God went so far, hallelujah, as to bow the heavens and come down to this earth and clothe Himself in human form, lowering Himself to the level, praise the Lord, of depraved man, if you please. Here on this earth, He allowed Himself to be scoffed and mocked and ridiculed and laughed at and spit upon. He allowed His back to be smitten, hallelujah, by those that hated Him. Amen. He allowed the hairs of His beard to be plucked. He allowed His face to be slapped and spit upon. And all this time, amen, mercy stood between His anger and His wrath and the sinner out there, pleading with that sinner, protecting that sinner from the wrath of God, if you please. Hallelujah. There were times when Jesus could have spoken the word and every one of His tormentors and all of His enemies could have dropped dead on the spot. Hallelujah. But mercy was there between Him and that sinner that mocked Him and ridiculed Him and slapped His face. Mercy reaching out. Hallelujah. Mercy pleading. Praise the Lord. Mercy begging with the sinner. Amen. To respond to the salvation of God. This generation, having rejected God, hallelujah, the world's cup, praise the Lord, of indignation is full. Amen. This world has blasphemed the name of God. This world has defied His power. This world has dared, praise the Lord, to send His thunderbolts and do its worst. All moral restraint has been removed from this world. Praise the Lord, all sense of decency has been discarded, if you please. Everything goes in our world, amen. The television screen is belching out so much garbage, and there's no more censor on that screen. The ears of those that listen and the eyes of those that watch, hallelujah, are just so turned off by the corruption.
even the hardened sinner out there. It's saying the TV has become the most corrupt instrument in the home of people. That's right. We have all kinds of normality that is active in our world today. Amen. The hell, praise the Lord, in the bosom of this world, if you please, has just opened up itself and has exposed all of its contaminated and polluted evil so rampant and so open, without, amen, any shame, if you please, and without any modesty of any kind. The world is flaunting its evil in the face of God and defying God. Hallelujah. And God's cup of indignation is full right now. Amen. It's filled up. And the Bible tells us that there shall be a time of trouble such as there never was. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover the slain. Amen. You know what is that saying? At least during wars that take place today, we have what is called, amen, an armistice day. By that, we mean that there is a day provided for both sides that are fighting each other to go out there and pick their dead. Amen. And give them a decent burial ground, if you please. But in this day of this great tribulation, there'll be no day of armistice provided whatsoever. Hallelujah. There'll be no time to bury the dead. Amen. There'll be no burial places for the dead anywhere, if you please. Because the Bible says the earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover the slain. Chastisement from the Lord. Why? Not because man is born with sin. God, hallelujah, has accounted for that, amen, and made provision for that. Not because man is living in sin, amen. God can understand that. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Our nature is inclined towards sin, and God knows that and understands it. It's not so much that, but it's willful rejection to the plan of salvation that God has provided. Hallelujah. That is going to fill the cup of indignation of God. Amen. When he actually came to this world and he clothed himself in the form of man and he died on Calvary to provide salvation and escape for man. And man has flaunted the death of Christ and his, hallelujah, sacrifice and rejected it. And is bent on having his own way and doing his own thing. And the wrath of God is kindled. Amen. Handwriting is writing on the wall of time. The experts of the world have tried to read it and they have failed. The astrologers have tried to read it and they have failed. Praise the Lord. The magicians have tried to read it and they have failed. The intellectuals of our world have tried to read it and they have failed. They failed in the days of Belshazzar. They're going to fail in our day as well. The handwriting of God, praise the Lord, can only be interpreted by the prophet of God. The handwriting of God can only be interpreted by the man of God. Hallelujah. And there's no expert out there in the world that can interpret the handwriting of God. While the world has been subjected to two opinions in the course of human history, that of the expert and that of the prophet, I want you to know that the prophet of God is 100% right, while the expert cannot read the handwriting of God. It is Daniel who came on the scene and he read the handwriting of God on the wall of Belshazzar, while the experts of the world stood there helpless in the face of that handwriting, and they couldn't make heads or tails out of it. But the man of God in prayer and in contact with God received a revelation of what God was writing on the wall of Belshazzar. Meaty, meaty, tickle your parson. Those fingers wrote. Amen. And for the first time, fear came upon Belshazzar. The Bible says that his knee joints became loose until his knees began to knock one against the other.
Hallelujah. In desperation, he summoned for the experts of his kingdom, and they all came. And they stood out there bewildered by the strange handwriting. They had never seen the like. Hallelujah. They tried to read it from right to left, as Semitic writings, amen, are read, but they couldn't do anything with it. They tried from left to right, up and down, down and up, but they couldn't make anything out of it. Finally, they gave up. Hallelujah. This is something beyond us. Amen. Search beyond them, my friend. This was God writing with his own finger. And when the prophet of God came on the scene, it was so easy for him to read it. Numbered, weighed, divided. Amen. Friend, I really believe that the handwriting of God is being written on the horizon of time in this latter part of the 20th century. And I believe, hallelujah, that we are able to read the handwriting of God. It has a similarity to that of the writing in Belshazzar's palace. And God is actually writing on the wall of time. Numbered. Hallelujah. Your days are numbered. Because God holds the number of days that you live in His own hand. Amen. He controls the span of your life. He knows how long you're going to live. And He's writing on the wall of time. Numbered. Somebody in this congregation that has been coming to church time and time again. You have been in these meetings. You've been in services before I came. Hallelujah. And there has been a feeling that's been in this church for some time. Amen. I smelled it when I came. Hallelujah. Not knowing that somebody else had felt it and experienced it. Somebody's days and hours and minutes are being numbered by the Lord as He writes. You have been weighed in the divine balances of God, and you have been wanting. Hallelujah. And God is getting ready to make a change in your life altogether. Not to the better, my friend, but to the worst. Because you have continually, amen, and perpetually, you have rejected the Word of God. You have rejected the pleas of the man of God. You have rejected the Spirit of God. You have put your defenses against every effort that God has made, amen, to help you and to save you. God doesn't have to do that to you. He can only extend that invitation one time, amen, and forget about you. But He hasn't done that. He has invited you over and over and over again. And hard-headed and stubborn and willful and disobedient and unsubmissive, you have walked away from this church, hallelujah, and you haven't given God the chance to do something for you. And the writing has been on the wall for weeks now on your behalf. Numbered. And you know who you are. Numbered. There's a story told in the Bible. It's an analogy. A restless soul is trying to sleep in the late hours of the night. Hallelujah. But it's not able to sleep. Troubled. Burdened. Disturbed, frightened, amen, struggles against all of these feelings, trying to overcome them so that it could close its eyes in peaceful slumber. All of the effort it puts forth are in vain. It's troubled, it's disturbed, it's burdened, it's frightened, amen. Finally, it rises up from, hallelujah, its bed of restlessness. Out of its bedchamber and begins to walk in the streets of the city. Amen. Somebody ought to have said, what in the world are you doing wandering around this late hour of the night when everybody else is asleep? And that spirit would respond back, I can't go to sleep! Why not? My mind is troubled. What are you troubled about? I don't know exactly what I'm troubled about, but I have a premonition
that our city, our community, hallelujah, is being threatened by a danger that's coming against it from somewhere. What kind of a danger? I don't know. Where is it coming from? What direction? I don't know. That's why I'm searching.
Going into the streets of the city searching for somebody, hallelujah, that will give it some answers. This is a searching generation. The young people are searching for something that will give them a sense of satisfaction. Reaching out for something they can get a hold of that will give them a sense of stability, hallelujah, an anchor, praise the Lord, to their life. But they're searching in the wrong places, amen. They reach out, amen, for drugs, but that's not what they need. They reach out for alcohol, but that's not what they need. They reach out for sex, but that's not what they need. They reach out for these, hallelujah, foreign invading, amen, practices of witchcraft and magic, hallelujah, and they get involved in all of that, but that's not what they need. Amen. The adult generation is searching also, hallelujah. They're searching for a sense of security in the world of politics, in the world of economy, even in the world of religion, hallelujah. Somebody tell me, are we destined for a nuclear holocaust? Is it going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month? How soon is this world going to be annihilated by a nuclear war? We live under that threat all the time. And they're reaching out for the politician and asking the politician, how about it? But the politician doesn't know, hallelujah. The expert doesn't know, but that fear is there and keeps threatening the minds of everybody. A nuclear holocaust, hallelujah. There are thousands of people, amen, that are marching around, hallelujah. And they are disturbed about the possibility of a nuclear war. Too many nuclear weapons around, amen, hallelujah. And some madman could press a button and plunge this world into a nuclear holocaust or annihilate the human race. Amen. A race, hallelujah, that they call the arms race. Searching. Praise the Lord, but searching in the wrong places because a politician doesn't have the answer. We have searchers, hallelujah, that feel so insecure in the economy of this world. The economy, amen, is so shaky. Amen. Anytime it could collapse and plunge this world, praise the Lord, in a state, hallelujah, of depression. Worse even than the late 20s and the early 30s, if you please. And that is going to happen in the future because that's what's going to make the Antichrist the savior of the world. The world is going to be plunged into a state of deep economic depression. And he is going to come on the scene and resurrect, hallelujah, the economy. And bring prosperity. That's how they're going to magnify him as a God. Hallelujah. We're destined. The experts tell us that the economy has improved a little bit and might improve a little more towards election time. But 1985, look out. The economy is going to take a nosedive. Amen. Inflation is going to rise up again. Hallelujah. And it's going to be worse than the years before it. But they're searching for security, but in the wrong places. This restless soul went into the streets of the city. And perhaps she went to the expert. Listen, I feel impending danger. I feel that we are going to be attacked by an enemy. I feel that the very well-being of our city and community is at stake. A destructive power is coming against us. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know what the nature of this destructive power is, but I feel and sense it, and I'm disturbed. I can't go to sleep, hallelujah. My mind is in a state of turmoil. My spirit is troubled. I'm distressed. Please tell me, do you know anything about it? No answer from the expert. No answer from the politician. No answer from the economist. And it keeps searching. Goes to the guardhouse, hallelujah. Walks inside the guardhouse.
The watchmen are sitting and playing cards together. Some are laying down asleep. A spirit of complacency and indifference and carelessness has overwhelmed the watchmen of the day. Praise the Lord. They don't have, hallelujah, what it takes to tell the people about the danger that's out there, because they're not in touch with God. They're sitting around out there living a state of carelessness and complacency. How many preachers and how many churches do we have that go by the name of Christendom, that have congregations in their churches, and all they give them is a shallow religion? Hallelujah. Damning their souls to hell and making them believe that they are Christians when they're no different than the man in the street that never went to church anywhere. These are the watchmen. When that restless soul realizes that these are not the people that can give her the answer that she needs, so she continues her search in the city in the late hours of the night. Everybody else is asleep, amen, unconcerned, indifferent, careless, hallelujah. They don't even understand what's going on. They can't feel the danger because they're not sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the spirit of the times we're living in. They're asleep, but not so with this restless spirit, wandering in the streets of the city in the late hours of the night. And finally it gets close to the wall of the city. And all of a sudden the night is shattered by the footfalls of the watchman that is walking back and forth on the walls of the city. Wide awake, alert, can see beyond the walls from every direction or from as far as his naked eye can see. And all of a sudden, this restless soul realizes that this is the party that can tell it. Amen. A wide awake watchman, somebody who's in touch with what's happening, somebody who's alert, praise the Lord, somebody whose sight, amen, is concentrated on the enemy that would come against the city. And without any hesitation, that restless soul cries out, "Watchman, what of the night?" And as though it was not satisfied with the first cry, it cries out louder the second time, "Watchman, what of the night?" And it arrests the attention of the watchman. Hallelujah. He stops his walking back and forth on the wall. Somebody down there, amen, is anxious to know, hallelujah, about the welfare and the well-being of the city. Somebody's disturbed. I can tell by the cry of that restless soul that it's disturbed and wanting to know. Hallelujah. And the watchman, arrested by the intense cry of that restless spirit, stops and looks down at that spirit. Hallelujah. And that soul. And he says, "What do you want to know about the night?" And she says, I feel danger approaching our city. I feel destructive forces coming against us. Amen. I don't know what the nature of the destruction is. I don't know what direction they're coming from. But I feel and sense, hallelujah, that there is danger threatening our very being, our very well-being. Amen. Now come around, and I know you can tell me, because you're wide awake. You're walking on top of the walls. You can see beyond the walls. Hallelujah. And you can tell if there's any danger approaching the city. And the watchman looks down at that honest soul, and he says, "Your fears are well founded." Amen. Your premonition is well founded. There is a danger coming against our city. Hallelujah. There are destructive forces approaching our city. But it's not going to get here tonight. This night is going to pass on. Praise the Lord. Destruction is not going to come this night to the city. Hallelujah. Because there is a morning coming. A morning of respite. A morning of opportunity. A morning, amen, of preparation. A time, hallelujah, that you can actually provide a place of safety for yourself from the destruction that is coming. If you want to inquire some more, come back in the morning. If you want to find out any more, come back in the morning. And I'll tell you, hallelujah, and I'll tell you how to prepare yourself. I'll tell you what kind of refuge to find for yourself.
If you will inquire, the Bible says, inquire ye, return, come. But that's not all he tells the soul. Then he says, but after that morning of opportunity, and after that morning of respite, night is coming. And it's going to be night forever then. All of the dangers that you feel and sense coming against the city are going to erupt, and destruction is going to take place like never before. It will be a day of gloom. It will be a day of darkness. It will be a day of destruction. It will be a day of devastation. It will be a day of horror. Hallelujah. All of these adjectives that I'm giving you are mentioned in the Bible in relationship to the great tribulation, if you please. It will be a day of demon power. Amen. Superior to man's power. Free and rampant on the face of the earth. It will be a day when monsters are going to roam the face of this earth. Literal monsters, my friend. Demon spirits that will inhabit human forms, and these human forms will be turned into literal monsters, just like it was in the record of Genesis. Hallelujah. The word giants in the land, amen, in the Hebrew, means inhumans in the land. It means demon spirits in the land, monsters. That's what the Hebrew interpretation is. The word giant, Nephilim, amen. And the Hebrew word Nephilim means monsters or inhumans. Hallelujah. So there's going to be monsters on the face of this earth. Inhumans on the face of this earth. If you please. Hallelujah. Abnormal beings that are going to roam this earth. And they're going to have, amen, destructive powers. Not to kill necessarily, but to inflict such torture and torment that men suffering from the torture inflicted by these monsters will actually chew their tongues with pain, if you please, and wish they were dead. Amen. Why are you talking like that, Brother Urshan? My Lord, I'm trying to stir you up. I'm trying to wake you up to realize what you are going to be confronted with if you miss the rapture. It's going to be out of the hands of the human family after that. Amen. It's going to be out of your hands. Choices will be taken, hallelujah, away from you. You will not have the freedom of making any choice of any kind. You will have to submit, hallelujah, to a monstrous government that is described, praise the Lord, as a beastly government. And it's described as beastly because it's going to have the characteristics of a ferocious lion, a brutal bear, a rapacious leopard, if you please. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that when the lion becomes ferocious, he goes about roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And one of the characteristics of the beast that is going to take over this earth is ferociousness of a hungry lion seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. And then the brutality of a bear. The bear is considered one of the strongest animals in the world because he can crush with his brutal strength and break, if you please. Hallelujah. And this beast is going to have the brutality of a bear who will crush the wills, amen, of men and women and crush any resistance and cause humanity to succumb to his diabolical and satanic wishes. Hallelujah. You don't take him out, he'll force you to take it. You don't bow down and worship his image, he'll force you to do that with his brutality, if you please. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says he'll have the rapaciousness of a leopard. Do you know something about the leopard? He's the most agile animal in the animal kingdom. He's the fastest animal on a plane than any other beast of the field. Hallelujah. And when a leopard catches up with its victim, he tears the insides of that victim, and he sucks all the blood out and leaves the carcass dry on the ground. And the Bible tells us that one of the characteristics of this beast, this monster, that is going to roam this earth with his dictatorial beastly rule, he's going to have the rapacious of a leopard. He's actually going to suck the life blood, hallelujah, out of humans in that day. You can sit there, hallelujah,
and you can discard anything I'm saying, praise the Lord, and you can ignore it, and you can brush it aside, because you see, you live in a country so affluent and so civilized, amen, and you've never been subjected to such cruelty, hallelujah. Enemies have not invaded America, but it's going to be different in that day. This is not going to be an earthly army coming to America. Hallelujah. This is going to be Satan himself that is going to be cast out of heaven. And it's going to be a raging, praise the Lord, demon spirit. And he's going to, hallelujah, victimize the human family with his rage and concentrate his wrath upon the human family. That's why Jesus said, hallelujah, such a time as never was, not even to this day, and never shall be. A great time of oppression. A great time of beating people down. A great time of thrashing people down. A great time of afflicting people. A great time of bringing extreme distress to people. Hallelujah. As they are oppressed and they are pushed down and they are, hallelujah, trampled upon until life wouldn't mean anything and you couldn't buy it with a penny. Hallelujah. All this time, the Lord is reaching out with His mercy, pleading with you through His ministers, save yourself from this untoward generation, this wicked generation. Save yourself. Hallelujah. And He's telling you, be sure that you make your calling and election sure. For in the day of provocation, when God is provoked by the abomination of this earth, His anger is going to be unleashed, and His wrath is going to be unleashed without mixture of mercy whatsoever. Hallelujah. The prophet of the Old Testament cried out, amen. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And the apostle and the evangelist of the New Testament said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men to what? Trying to get you saved so you can escape the judgment and the wrath and the tribulation that is coming upon this earth. And when you allow your ears to become so laden and so deaf to the Word of God, hallelujah, then destruction will come upon you suddenly like a whirlwind. I'm saying this because it is not just my feeling. I want your pastor, praise the Lord, to vindicate what I'm saying tonight, because he himself has shared that with me. Amen. I want your pastor's wife, praise the Lord, to vindicate that, because she has shared that with us as well. There have been others that have been here before me that preached to you that felt the same thing. A handwriting has gone forth for somebody. Hallelujah. And that handwriting is saying, numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. God is weighing you in the balances. The only difference between the handwriting of God of today and that of yesteryears is that whereas Belshazzar never had a chance to repent because his doom was pronounced on that day, this handwriting is giving you a warning. It is telling you that you're living in a dispensation of grace and God is still providing you with a morning of opportunity. The watchman is telling you, who can see beyond the walls of the city, he's not sitting in a guardhouse playing cards or sleeping, but he's walking on the walls of the city and he has spotted the danger and can see it out there, and he's telling you. And that morning for you, hallelujah, has traveled to noontime to evening time, and you don't have too much time left before darkness comes and night comes, and it'll be a permanent night, hallelujah, of eternal damnation. I'm just going to stop right here because I feel an unctioning of the Holy Ghost constraining me to stop right now. I want us to stand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want all of you saints of God, godly people, you feel that your conscience is clear before the Lord. I want you to pray for somebody here tonight that they'll escape the judgments that are coming. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm trying to still the fears, amen, that are plaguing my mind right now. Amen. Keep telling myself, God is a merciful God. God is a merciful God. God is a merciful God. While God's people are praying, if you're here tonight and you realize your need without any hesitation, I want you to walk out of your place and come to this altar right now. Hallelujah. Don't even take time to consider it or contemplate. Just walk out of your place right now before the devil gets into your head and starts hallelujah, restraining him coming. Just walk out of your place and come to this altar right now. You need God in Jesus' name.